What's going on, guys? Nathan here. Today I'm going to give you six rather unprofitable poker plays that you really should avoid at the poker table, and I'm also going to give you step-by-step example hands showing you how not to do these six things and what you should be doing instead. So without any further ado, let's jump into it. Counting down from six to one, never make these bad plays at the poker table. All right, guys, so number six thing that you will never see good poker players doing is check raising top pair versus a nit. Guys, this play has so much fail in it, I don't even know where to begin. All right, let me talk about a nit first. For those of you guys who don't know, this is the tightest player at the table. This is the guy or girl who's been sitting in a corner for, you know, 30 minutes, basically folding every single hand. Guys, they're waiting for a hand like pocket aces or pocket kings or ace king. They're not screwing around. So let me give you an example here. You have a hand like jack 10 of hearts, really nice hand. I definitely suggest playing this in literally all situations. Flop comes down with a 10 of diamonds, 5 of spades, and 6 of diamonds. So decent spot, right? We have top pair. So you check and the nit makes a C bet. We're gonna assume that we're out of position in this scenario here. Guys, you should just call. You never want to be raising here for the simple reason that there is nothing for you to gain. Guys, in every single poker hand, you always wanna be running a cost-benefit analysis in your mind. And in a situation like this, let's actually think about it. If we were to raise here, what is the tightest player at the table likely to give us action with? Well, a hand like pocket aces, pocket kings, which obviously have us in very, very bad shape, or they have a hand like ace king, which they're just going to fold. We don't want to make that hand fold. We want to just check and allow that hand to potentially continue bluffing on the turn and river. So guys, I hope you can see that there is literally no benefit for us to be check raising a hand like top pair here. And honestly, this is true for nearly every single player type. There's not a whole lot of benefit, guys, to be check raising top pair. Assuming reasonably deep stacks in a cash game or a tournament, 100 big blinds or so, you typically want to be just check calling your top pair or bet calling. Let's move on to bad poker play number five that you will never see good poker players making at the table, and that is chasing a baby flush draw. Guys, from my nearly 20 years in this game, having played this game professionally for over a decade, I have seen so many amateurs make this really unfortunate mistake time and time again. Often I've benefited a lot from it. Basically, guys, good players will never chase low flush draws. Let me give you an example once again. You have 5-4 of hearts, decent hand, but we need to be careful. Flop comes down with ace of hearts, 9 of spades, and 10 of hearts. So awesome, right? We have a flush draw. We also have a backdoor straight draw as well. If it came a 2 and a 3 on the turn and river, we'd make the wheel straight. However, guys, if there's any kind of big action on the flop here, you should be getting out of there. And by that, I mean folding. Guys, please do not chase reverse implied odds situations like this. Now, let me explain reverse implied odds. Basically, this is a situation in poker where if you hit your hand, you are setting yourself up to potentially lose a massive pot. For example, you got your 5-4 of hearts here. Imagine there's a bet and a raise in front of you here. What do we think that these players are representing? Well, one player probably has a hand like top pair, which is a significant favorite versus our hand, and there's a decent chance that the other player has something like a queen jack of hearts. I hope you can see where I'm going here. If that heart comes on the turn or river, you are royally screwed. You're gonna have a flush, a very, very strong hand, and no limit hold'em, and you're likely to lose your entire stack. So guys, play this hand cautiously. If there's a bet and a raise in front of you, yes, you want to be folding this. Don't call like amateurs. Have the eight of hearts come down on the turn and lose your entire stack. Let's move on to bad poker play number four that you're never going to see good poker players making, and that is calling three bets out of position. Now, this is something that I talk about in all of my poker books, my new training course, and in my free poker cheat sheet as well, which will be the top link in the description below. And basically, guys, as you know, I beat the dead horse of position in poker all the time because all of your winnings come from a few seats at the table. I'm going to put the image up on your screen right now so you can see the seats at the poker table and you can see which ones are the most profitable. And guys, the reason why the cutoff and the button are the most profitable is because you get to act last on the flop, turn, and river. It's going to allow you to get more value bets in, more bluffs in, or fold your hand and save money if you think that you're beat. So for an example, you got pocket threes, you raise it up in early position, and a tag tight and aggressive player three bets you in middle position. Guys, in a situation like this, all good poker players are going to know that they should be full folding here, whereas recreational poker players will often make the call and bleed out tons of chips over the long run. Guys, what you need to know about small pocket pairs like this, I've made videos, by the way, on the channel specifically about small pocket pairs. You can check those out. Make sure you're subscribed as well. What you need to know, guys, is that you're only gonna flop a set 12% of the time. Yeah, not very good odds, right? So the problem here in a situation like this is when you raise an early position and then a tight player, remember, this is a decent regular. We're not talking about a recreational player here. When a tight, decent player three bets you, AKA re-raises you in the very next seat, this is a very strong play in poker, guys. They're not screwing around. Basically, they're saying they have a hand like pocket aces, kings, queens, jacks, something like that. Maybe ace king, maybe ace queen. Basically, guys, something that has you in really, really bad shape. So therefore, you're basically just bleeding out chips here by calling a raise out of position once again, and knowing that you're only gonna hit your three on the flop 12% of the time, and you're probably just going to check and fold. And guys, all of this adds up. Everyone always remembers, oh, that 12% when you hit your three and you know, win a big pot. Guys, these situations are rare. Poker is a game of math, odds, and statistics over the long run. And when you call out of position, and that's really the crucial point here, with a small pocket pair, you are just throwing away money over the long run, guys. Make sure you fold in this situation. Let's move on to bad poker play number three that you're never going to see good poker players making, and that is pricing the whole table in. Now, this is something I've also talked about at length, especially in my first book, Crushing the Micro Stakes, is about making proper bet sizes both before the flop and after the flop. So basically, guys, good poker players know to always raise enough to encourage folds. As I mentioned in these videos before, is that you often want to get around two people at the very, very most to call you pre-flop. And if you get everyone to fold, there's nothing wrong with that as well, guys. It's free money. We'll take it. What you don't want is three, four, five people calling you. So for example, you got the best hand in poker, pocket aces, and three people have already limped in front of you. And limping, by the way, is when they just call the big blind. So good players know that they should be raising it to at least 10x here. And when I say 10x, I'm talking about 10 times the big blind. So you're playing in a $1, $2 cash game, for example. 10 times the big blind would be $20 in this situation. But rec players, on the other hand, they'll just raise it up 5x. They'll just raise it $10 and, you know, five people will call them and they wonder why their pocket aces or their ace king will always get so-called cracked. It's because they're pricing the whole table in, guys. Make sure you make your raise sizes both before the flop and after the flop a decent amount. Give people a real reason to fold. Don't just allow the whole table to come in there and crack your aces, because someone's gonna crack your aces if you allow five people into the pot. All right, guys, so bad poker play number two that you're never gonna see any good poker players making is overplaying suited aces. Guys, from having coached hundreds of students at the small and mid stakes, this is one of the most common mistakes that I've found in their game. We go through their hands. Amateurs absolutely love to overplay a hand like ace three of diamonds, but all good poker players know to play a hand like this cautiously. Guys, in a nutshell, you don't play suited aces, especially baby suited aces like this, just to hit top pair. This is the big mistake that a lot of amateurs make, is the ace comes on the flop, they wind up playing a big pot, and they wonder why they lose to ace queen. It's because these hands don't have a kicker, guys, and that's why you don't play them just to hit top pair. You play hands like this instead to flop big. You want to hit two pair, a straight, a combo draw. For example, you got the ace three of diamonds, you want to hit a flop like five of diamonds, two of spades, 10 of diamonds. This is a spot where not only do you have the nut flush draw, which is a massive, massive thing in a deep stack game like No Limit Hold'em. Remember, I always talk about you want to be drawing to the nuts. We also have, well, the overcard, of course, as well with the ace. There's three more aces in the deck, but hopefully you guys also notice that we have the wheel straight draw here. We've got four more outs. If the four comes, we'd make the ace, deuce, three, four, five straight. So guys, this is an example of what we call a combo draw in poker. And this is the kind of thing that you want to be looking for with your suited aces. You're not just looking for top pair, guys. Be careful when you just hit top pair with a hand like this. Let's move on to the number one bad poker play that you're never going to see any good poker players making. And that is never folding an overpair. Guys, all good poker players know that sometimes you just have to fold your pocket aces or your pocket kings. Guys, a random hand has, I think, around 15% equity versus pocket aces or pocket kings, meaning that they're going to to crack your aces 1 out of 6 times. And if they have an actual decent hand like pocket tens, it's more like 20% of the time they're gonna crack your aces 20% of the time. And of course, that's just versus one opponent. If you're against multiple opponents, as we just talked about a couple minutes ago, the chances go up considerably. If there's 3, 4, or 5 people in the pot, your aces might be actually not even a favorite to win the pot. So guys, let me give you an example once again. You have pocket kings and a tight player raises you on a river of queen, 8, 3, 6, jack. Guys, this is a classic situation where you need to be folding your hand. I mean, there are so many different hands that a tight player could have here. And remember guys, tight players don't raise rivers or even turns without really strong hands, AKA something that beats one pair, which is all we have here with our pocket kings. Bottom line guys, good poker players don't need to see it. That's what amateurs do. They always call here and the tight player flips over the pocket queens, the pocket eights, the pocket threes, the pocket sixes, the pocket jacks, or the queen jack, or the queen eight, anything that beats you here, the 9-10 for the straight on the river. Guys, you don't need to see it. You have to develop the discipline to be able to fold specifically against the tight player types in a situation like this if you ever want to get ahead in this game. So I hope you enjoyed this poker podcast episode. If you want to know my complete strategy for beating small and mid-stakes poker games, make sure you go grab a copy of my free poker cheat sheet that's available on my website at blackrain79.com. And also make sure you hit like and subscribe here to the podcast as I'm putting out new episodes every single week to help you guys quickly get beating your poker games. I wish you guys all the best at the poker tables. I'll catch you next week. This has been Nathan Williams with blackrain79.com.